The Coffee Break Liberty Podcast, Episode 19. Welcome back, everybody, to the Coffee Break Liberty Podcast. With me, your host, Leo Sowers, and the Liberty Dog himself, Gino. He's not sleeping on the job this week, I assure you. He is patiently watching me record this podcast this lovely Friday evening. Before we jump into the show and this week's episode, I want to remind you guys about the store at coffeebreakliberty.com. If you go to coffeebreakliberty.com, in the upper portion of the page, there is a tab for the store. I want you to click on that tab and you are going to see the best mugs. The best. You're not going to find any better mugs. Why? Because these mugs have the Coffee Break Liberty logo on them. They have some other libertarian-esque and anarchist and, you know, Second Amendment and Bitcoin, cryptocurrency logos on them. So go check it out at coffeebreakliberty.com. But when you go to coffeebreakliberty.com, I want you to wait around for about 10 to 15 seconds. You're going to get hit with a prompt to sign up for the newsletter. I'm telling you, sign up for the newsletter. Sign up. Because one, I'm not going to send out any newsletters, so you don't have to worry about your inbox being full. But right when you sign up, you're going to get a discount code for 10% off of your first order of the coffeebreakliberty.com store. So go to coffeebreakliberty.com and get yourself a mug. The first topic of this week's podcast is something that you all may have seen it in the news. We're continuing on, it seems, with Tony Fauci. Dr. Tony Fauci just making a you-know-what of himself. This week, he told everybody on the news and everything and whoever was watching, which was probably just about 10 people, but that an attack on him is an attack on science. It was such an audacious thing to say that people from all spectrums, you know, across the political spectrum, were kind of thrown back like, what is this guy talking about? You're not all that is science, bruh. You didn't see the attacks, you know, much from the left, but they clearly did not support what he was saying. You know, those from that political leaning or whatever you want to call it, they didn't support what he was saying. But those on the right or whatever, you know, they got on the offensive and they jumped on it right away. But it's this guy's attitude. He's had this attitude for almost 40 years. I'm telling you, guys. I'm telling you. Go back and look what he did in the 80s with the AIDS crisis. It was a disaster, and he was part of the problem. He was part of the reason it was a disaster. And he's continuing these same horrible policies that are costing lives at this point. They're costing lives. And he continues to push these policies, to push these regulations with the idea that, you know, hey, if you're against it, you're just against science. If you're against Anthony Fauci, if you're against Tony Fauci, that's an attack on science. Imagine the audacity. Like, let's say, for another analogy, right? Oh, I don't like Tom Brady. Well, that's an attack on all sports. That's what that is. That means you just hate sports because you don't like Tom Brady. Oh, maybe I don't like Tom Brady because I'm just tired of seeing him win. Or maybe I'm just a little jealous and that's why I don't like Tom Brady. It doesn't mean I hate sports. It's absurd. One benefit of his, you know, faux pas this week is that it's further, we're further seeing the veil, right? You know, the curtain is finally unmasked for those who haven't seen it yet, but a lot more people are seeing it week after week. You know, every week more people see it. You know, the Wizard of Oz, the curtain is finally dropping. We're getting to see what's going on. And this clown of a man, this lunatic, this clown, whatever, is just, he's putting his foot in his mouth. He's not helping the situation anymore. And honestly, I'm a little surprised that they're letting him get in front of a camera now. You know, they kind of told him, it seemed, to sit back after he lied to Congress. And you didn't see him for about a week. But then he started coming back out again. And here you go. You got him out there now just making a clown of himself. It doesn't seem to bother him that he thinks now, if you disagree with him, that's an attack on science. That's an attack on science. Well, why is it just an attack on science? Why stop there, Tony Fauci? It should be an attack on everything. If I disagree with Tony Fauci, that's why just stop at science? It should be, what else should it be an attack on? Who knows? It should be an attack on Earth. That's what it is. That's a full frontal assault on planet Earth if you don't agree with Tony Fauci. Like I said, thankfully, though, this seems to be, you know, unraveling, you know, slowly but surely, but like more people, it appears anyways, are getting wise to what's going on, getting wise to this guy at least, and how ridiculous he is, how awful he is. He's been wrong for 15, 16 months, and people still idolize this guy. They were putting his face on socks and cupcakes. But no, we were the fools. We were all the fools because we called it and we questioned it. Said, you watch, this will be taken as an opportunity to strip your liberties away. No, nope. Called the fools then. Well, doesn't look like we were wrong, does it? But it ain't always about being right. It's about doing what's next, right? So what comes after Fauci? Well, we make sure it never happens again. We make sure that the American people don't fall for this trick again. And I'm not saying that it's all fake, you know, that coronavirus is fake. It's not. It's not fake. But we don't allow ourselves to fall into this cult of personality where there's only one voice of quote-unquote reason, only one voice of science, that anything against what that one voice says is an attack on the American people and your neighbor. Especially, we never should have let this happen to begin with, especially with Anthony Fauci's record. It didn't start to really come out again until, you know, a few months into this. But there was a book in 2016 about Fauci and how he messed up the AIDS crisis. I've mentioned it on the podcast before, but an estimated 17,000 people died because of his mismanagement, of his lack of initiative, his lack of guidance, or you could say his guidance. His guidance was to not treat certain AIDS patients a certain way. His guidance was actually to do the exact opposite of that. And it is an estimated 17,000 people died because of that. You know, why does he still have a job? If you or I made a mistake that big, where 17,000 people died, we would not be a job. We would not be considered an expert in anything. Maybe an expert in losing life. Definitely not preserving it. Definitely not saving it. Seems to be the exact opposite of what Fauci's doing. Like I said, though, thankfully, luckily, it looks like the veneer is coming off. The curtain is dropping. You know, Wizard of Oz, we see it all. Not soon enough, sadly, but it does seem to be happening. He seems to be now kind of the scapegoat, or that's what I thought was going to happen. I don't know if they're going to throw this guy to the wolves. I thought they were going to let us forget about him was the idea, but then he comes out. Maybe he's trying to stay relevant. Who knows? But they'll just push it on to somebody else. Somebody else will fill this role. That we've all seen that there's a lady that they're showing now more and more on CNN. She was excited. She was ecstatic to give her children the vaccine. Her one-year-old child and her three-year-old child. She's ecstatic to do that. She can't wait. Though the survivability and the, you know, from coronavirus is like 100% for people in that age range. It's, you know, the amount of lives lost is, you know, a rounding, sounds horrible, right? Sounds horrible to say, but it's like a rounding error. It's so minuscule, you wouldn't count it as data. This cult that has circulated, that has formed in this last, you know, 16 months, it seems one of their, you know, their sacred calves is being slaughtered, that of Anthony Fauci, but they're going to probably try and prop up a few more. Because we all know that it's just a cover for the government. I mean, that's who Anthony Fauci works for. He gets a check from the government. He's not some private doctor out there performing medical procedures, treating patients. That's one thing, too. He's never treated a COVID patient, by the way, people. He's not licensed to. But we all listen to him. He knows what's best and how to treat COVID patients, though he's never treated one, never treated an AIDS patient either. But he was the one making the shots, calling the shots, rather, on what treatment could and should be used and all that. People died from it then, and people are dying from it now. How he's not held personally responsible for some of this at this point is beyond me. But I'm not a lawyer. I don't know where you could do that, how you could do that. But my goodness, he needs to be. If any of us were in that position, we're in a position where that many people lost their lives due to our advice or lack thereof, we would be held accountable. We would be held accountable. But if you're a government stooge, you get away with it. You can do it for 40 years. You can do it for 40 years and then write a book. Maybe people will put your face, my face, on a cupcake too. This week's second topic that I want to talk about is the overturning of the California assault weapons ban by a judge. Oh my goodness. Did the internet light on fire? So earlier this week, a judge out there in California overturned the state's assault weapons ban. He put a 30-day stay on it. And when that 30-day stay ends, by the way, that's July 4th. How awesome is that? Now, to be fair, the Attorney General for the state of California has already said he's going to appeal it. It looks like they're going to take it to the Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals next. Now, there's a few things with this, right? So the judge, you know, everybody that jumped on the judge's case said, oh, he compared it to a Swiss Army knife. He compared it to a Swiss Army knife. It's not just a Swiss Army knife. All right, for one thing, you're taking the words that he said and misrepresenting them because it was a full statement. It wasn't just like, yeah, an AR-15 is like a Swiss Army knife. No, it's a complete statement, by the way. And there was 94 pages. He wrote 94 pages, well thought out pages, on why the American people, under the Second Amendment, have a right to own an assault rifle. And a state does not have the right, or the power, rather, to ban them. So, you know, when you see people just like jump on one statement that they clearly didn't read, they just saw it in a headline somewhere. Oh, he compared it to a Swiss Army knife. Yeah, there's 94 other pages of opinion that this judge wrote. And I'm going to post the link to that, by the way, in the show notes page. So go check it out. I'm not saying you got to read all 94 pages because I haven't even finished it all. It's going to take a while. The 94 pages, the link to those 94 pages will be in the show notes page. I want you guys to check it out so you have a better understanding of what this judge was talking about and why he thinks, and why his opinion is that, you know, the state doesn't have the power to do so and that the American people have that right to defend themselves with an assault rifle, an assault weapon. Ugh, hate that term. A rifle. Another thing, though, this can really turn it, you know, this can turn out to be a bad thing for the state of California and all the other states that ban assault weapons, assault rifles, which I think there's only a handful more. But this can go, you know, if the Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals takes the case, they don't have to take it. They can deny to take it. And I'm going to tell you why it would be in their benefit, you know, overall to deny it. Don't take it. Let it win. Take the L on that one. If, you know, if they want to further their gun restrictions and their gun bans and all that, take the L on that one. Because if you overturn it and then it goes to the Supreme Court, which it will at that point, that will be the next step, and the Supreme Court says no, assault weapons bans are unconstitutional, and look at how stacked the Supreme Court is right now. It's stacked very conservatively. It's stacked against them. That will overturn California and all the other states' assault weapons bans, and it will also put a limit and a stop to federal assault weapons bans that Attorney General of California is about to dig himself in a grave he can't get out of. And I use the term metaphorically. Right? He's about to make, you know, his worst nightmare a reality, and he doesn't even realize it. It's bad tactics on his part. It's bad tactics on the anti-gun lobby's part. You know, what if you wanted to be an effective anti-gun lobbyist, take the L on this one, but then start restricting everything else, right? Well, okay, fine. They got their assault weapons bans, but we'll put a ban on ammunition. Or, you know, like they've got in California, you can only buy so much ammunition a year. Or you can only buy this kind of ammunition. You know, just keep making the laws so obscure, so random, so much of a headache that you can't abide by them legally, right? You make it that way, and then you effectively have, you know, gotten rid of guns, so you think anyways, whatever. But you, in another way, you've, you know, added more gun restrictions. You just make all these other arbitrary laws. But these guys, they don't get it. It's bad tactics. I'm telling you, if it goes to the ninth and then they overturn it and it goes to the Supreme Court, this could be big, guys. It could really be big. It will take a long time to get there. It will take a long time for the Ninth Circuit to do their thing, I presume. I mean, they might just be real quick about it. They could also choose not to hear it. And the Supreme Court, too, could also choose not to hear it, which I think they might end up doing if it does go that way. That way, California gets to keep their ban, and the Supreme Court doesn't get, you know, accused of writing laws and interfering with this, that, and the other. But, you know, it would actually be the Supreme Court pretty much refusing to do their job. You know, the Supreme Court, I've written about it, and I've talked about it a couple times on the podcast. The Supreme Court doesn't write laws. It only gives an opinion. It doesn't strike down laws. It just deems them unconstitutional or constitutional. You know, if the Supreme Court deems a law to be, you know, with their opinion, that a law is unconstitutional, that law does not go away. It is still on the books. Now, let's say, you know, they say this law is unconstitutional, still on the books. Then it's like, okay, the executive branch would then decide, you know, whatever. Hey, are we going to enforce this law, even though it's been said it's unconstitutional? Which would mean every case would be, you know, if they were to enforce the law, every case that was brought up under that law would be considered unconstitutional, thrown out. Or are they just going to abide by it and say, you know what, okay, it's unconstitutional, we're not going to enforce the law anymore. It does not get rid of the law. That is very important to understand. I want everybody to understand it. It's a very important civics lesson. It may seem like splitting hairs, but it is vitally important, right? If let's say this goes to the Supreme Court, and the Supreme Court says, yes, California's assault weapons ban and all states' assault weapons bans are unconstitutional. Well, that doesn't stop the states from enforcing them. You know California would still enforce those laws just so they could get weapons off the street and confiscate them and put them in some police station's evidence locker, and they'll just sit there and you'll never see it again. You won't get charged with a crime because the crime will be, you know, it won't be a crime, but good luck getting your stuff back. That's how they'll do it. They're going to try, and they're not going to stop. You need to be aware of that. I'm not trying to scare anybody. I'm just laying out the possibilities of what can happen. But what's happening in California is very interesting. It's awesome. We'll see what the Ninth Circuit does. I believe it's already been submitted to the Ninth Circuit, or it will be next week. It's coming up here shortly. And I guess we'll stay tuned for that. Hopefully we'll get to talk about it more in the podcast. All right, the last topic I wanted to talk about this week, it's going to be hopefully quick and short, not as long as that last one, but it's Vice President Harris and her debacle at the border in Guatemala this last week, and on news and being interviewed. You know, for those of us that are from California, we've seen her for a while, and I'm from the Bay Area originally. She was a district attorney in one county. And then another attorney, something or other, for like, I think, the city of San Francisco. It doesn't really matter. She's from the Bay Area. She's been there a while. Her face has been around. I remember knowing about her from high school. I used to know about this woman. And I didn't agree with her then. I thought her policies were bad then. Granted, I didn't know much about her policies, but the little that I did know, I thought they were pretty bad. I digress, though. She's showing her face again, though. She's showing her cards, her face. Everybody's now getting to see the kind of person that she really is. You know, these people, for the past 4 years, oh, Trump is the worst on the border. He's far right. He's short of Hitler, or he's worse than Hitler on the border. Oh my gosh. Oh my gosh. And then she goes down to the Guatemala and says pretty much the same thing that Trump said. I'm not going to get into the whole border debate right now. I've written about it before. My view has changed, though, since I did write on it. I'll admit that, but that's a totally different conversation. I just want to talk about how horrible Vice President Harris is. She is the worst. She's the worst. She's a hypocrite. She's a hypocrite. And then when she was asked about it on a few news stations this last week, you know, she was asked about it by Lester Holt. He's a big name in news. He's got one of the nightly shows, you know, tens of millions of people watch him a night. When he asked her about it, she said, well, you know, I haven't been to the border. And she said, and he says, well, when are you going to go down there? He says, well, I haven't been to your, or how did she put it? He says, he's pressing her on like why she hasn't been to the border. And it's like, hey, why haven't you been to the border? And she says, well, I haven't been to Europe either. That's not what. I guess she's concerned about the borders in Europe. That's not the question. Then she just cackles and brushes it off. One of the reporters on Univision earlier this week asked her, you know, hey, when are you going down to the border? They put her up against it. NBC, which owns Univision as well, and I believe that's who Lester Holt works for. Yeah, he's NBC. You know, that they definitely were not fans of Trump. But I'll give them this. They're putting Harris, you know, through the ringer. They're giving her a hard time. Like, hey, you said you're supposed to be taking care of this. You were instructed to take care of this by El Presidente Jim Crow Joe Biden. That's his new name, by the way. Jim Crow Joe Biden. But, you know, she was instructed to take care of this, and she's not doing anything about it. I mean, I wouldn't expect anything more, you know? She's a government. She's a politician, right? She's a liar. She deserves to be treated no better than the CEO of a cigarette company, as Michael Malice would say. They are disgusting people. They are the scum of the earth. So I honestly don't expect her to go to the border. I don't expect her to be a good person. I find it a little funny, a little troubling too, though, that people look up to her and Biden and Trump and all these other lunatics up there. They are bad people. And she's demonstrating it. And when she was asked on Univision, she just jumped in the reporter's business. Oh, I wasn't finished. Well, then finish. Stop stumbling around the question. You're so smart. You know, she's the kind of person that walks into a room, thinks she's smarter than everybody. She's that kind of person. She carries that kind of weight around her, right? She walks into a room, oh, I'm better than everybody else. You all know the people. We've all run into them. And then it turns out, you're probably not better than everybody else. You're probably just an idiot. And I'm starting to think that's kind of what she is. We know Joe is. Jim Crow Joe Biden. We know he ain't all there in the head. Yeah, I digress. Just going off on a little rant there. She's still not been to the border. She went to Guatemala, which borders Mexico. And to be fair, in one of her responses, she said it right. She said, hey, we need to go down there and find out why people from Guatemala and those other countries are coming to the border. She doesn't have to go down there, though, to check. She can go look at her voting record in the Senate when she supported insurrections in countries like Honduras and the overthrow of the government there. Yes, she supported that while she was in the Senate. under President Obama. That's why people from Honduras are coming to the border, because the United States went down there, threw their weight around, and, you know, decided, let's have a military coup. Thanks, CIA. We see it again. The ruling class thinking we're too dumb to figure it out. And what's sad, what's a little worrying, is that a lot of Americans, I don't want to say they're too dumb, they just don't pay attention. Let's be nice. They don't pay attention. They don't want to pay attention. It'd be troubling for them to learn what's really going on. Before I jump off here this week, guys, I want to remind you of the affiliate program that I am a part of with Bluehost. Who is Bluehost, you might ask? Well, Bluehost is the hosting service for this website and podcast. That's right. CoffeeBreakLiberty.com uses Bluehost. And you should, too, for your website. If you go to CoffeeBreakLiberty.com, there's an affiliate tab up there. I want you to click on it. Read about it. I got a little write-up there. And then sign up for Bluehost through that banner. You'll get a discounted price when you sign up through that banner. And then let me know that you started your website with Bluehost and that banner. Let me know about it, and you're going to get free publicity on the podcast, the social medias. You're going to reach thousands of people right off the bat. That's great. This can be great traffic. You're going to see a bump in traffic to your website. You know, you're going to reach thousands of people. It's going to be awesome. I'm telling you, sign up. Sign up for Bluehost. Have them host your website and do it through the banner on my website, the affiliate program there. You're going to get a better rate and you'll get all that publicity. Also, another reminder, guys, every Friday we're trying to do this. We're trying to go live and record the podcast live. I do edit it throughout the weekend, so you don't get to hear all the mess ups and screw ups that I do. But you can watch me edit it if it's something you want to do, or not watch me edit it, but watch me record it rather, if it's something you would be into. You can ask questions. I might actually respond, or, you know, it might further the conversation along in the podcast. You know, hey, you could be featured in the podcast. How cool is that? But it's just a reminder, you know, at 9 p.m. Central, that's generally when I try to do it on Friday evenings. I do pick Friday evenings because I know a lot of people won't be doing this, you know, sitting behind a computer. They'll be out and about. But hey, it would be really awesome if you could come join next Friday, 9 p.m. I hope to see you there. But until then, take care.